This Easter message delivered by Pastor Kevin Myers is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
So welcome to Easter, 12 Stone across the nine campuses. It's kind of fun, isn't it, church? There are nine services going on right now across the territory. The stuff we get to do together is so very cool. And we're glad that you're celebrating Easter with us. Now, if your neighbor, your co-worker, your spouse, your friend, maybe your teenager or your child asked you this question, how would you answer it? And here's the question. How do you get to heaven? How do you spend eternity with God, the place we all want to go? Now, that's a legit question. Because we all know we're going to die and therefore face eternity. And since it's going to be the big question for all of eternity, it's the big question while we're alive. And we do know we're going to die, right? I mean, you know that's coming. There are some clues along the way that that's where you're headed. For example, you're getting older. It's a clue. Comedian Louis C.K. reminds us of this in his own journey when he talks about the progressive difficulty of putting on socks. This is a funny 1 minute. Check it out.
The worst part of my day, worst part of every day of my life, is when I have to put on my socks. Putting on my socks is the worst part of every day. And it always will be. Even if I have a terrible day in the future where my grandmother is murdered by my other grandmother. If that ever happened to me, the worst part of that day will be when I put on my socks. But if I had to putting on my socks, that means here's what I have to do. I have to get my hands past my pointed toe. I don't even know how I do it. I'm sitting here, I don't know how I do that. It's because you have to, it's like folding a bowling ball in half. And as soon as I start, I can feel I'm pushing all the fat up into my vital organs. And I just feel all the systems failing. Beep, beep, beep. And I have to try, I have to lay on my back like an 8-year-old and go like this. And I start passing out.
And I get that. I'm getting older. We all are, regardless of our age, we're getting older. And I realized in the last couple of weeks just how different the experience of growing up with me as dad has been from my firstborn to my fourthborn. It's quite a different experience. My firstborn, Josh, is 26 years old, and he was born while I was in my 20s. My fourth is Jaden. He's 11 now, and he was born when I was in my 40s. And Josh would say things growing up to me like, "Hey, Dad, I hope you win your racquetball championship tomorrow." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, Dad's the man." My fourth, in the last couple of weeks, Jaden, the 11-year-old, tenderly wrapped his arms around me and said, "Daddy, I'm praying that God will heal your back so you can walk in the morning." Just two very different experiences growing up with me. In fact, Jaden, when he graduates from college, I will graduate into retirement. They've already picked out my retirement gift. It's the coolest wheelchair ever. Check this out. This is a beautiful gift. You know that suits me. See, we're getting older, and therefore there are things that we can't do that we could once do, like this hilarious healthcare commercial. I love this. Check it out.
It's our song.
No, I never felt like this before.
Whoa, wait.
Yes, I swear, It's the truth.
And I owe it all to you.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There are thousands of ways into the complex healthcare system.
Yes, I'm right.
And United Healthcare has ways to make the system simpler, like virtual doctor visits.
What happened here?
I came in too hot.
Well, if getting older and discovering there are things you can't do that you could once do is not enough to help you face the fact that you're going to die and face eternity someday, then it ought to be obvious because of everybody else's funeral, huh? I mean, other people keep dying. It doesn't matter the age. You can die at any age. Marcia buried her mother this last couple of months, age of 80. My mom passed away at 52. My brother died at age 41. My college roommate died at age 23. A girlfriend in high school passed away at the age of 16. 154,000 people die every day on this earth. 56 million a year. Kind of hard to ignore. So the question, how do you get to heaven, is the right question while you're alive. And it's the right question on Easter, because Easter is the answer to that question. And most people do not know how God has answered the question, how you get to heaven. So let's answer it today. Let's answer it with one word and four sentences. Everybody across the campuses, grab your teaching notes. It's on the back of the bulletin you received on the way in. And then grab your Bibles. Everybody grab a Bible. In this room, the Bible is right underneath your chair. Just reach underneath. It's sitting there in the chair. Pull it out. Grab a pen. The pen is sitting there as well. We're going to turn into the New Testament in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. It is page 1182. Everybody turn to page 1182. 1182 in your Worship Center Bible. Hey, by the way, if you don't have a Bible of your own, go ahead and take this. Put your name on it. Take it home. Read it. Get in God's Word. It'll change your life. Now, we're in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. It's the left-hand side. I'm going to start reading at verse 13. For he... Now we need to pause, because the word he is a pronoun. Who's it referring to? Go up one verse, and it tells us, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. The who, everybody? The Father. So this is our Heavenly Father. For he, that is our Heavenly Father, has rescued us. Pause right there. That is the one word, rescue. Everybody say it with me. What's the word? Rescue. Jot it down in your notes. That's the one word for Easter. That perhaps the best word to summarize what Easter is all about. For he, our Father in heaven, has rescued us, I'll keep reading, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. One word, rescue. And we can summarize it in four sentences. We'll put them right on the screen for you. You can fill in the blanks. Here we go. Number one, we have a Father. Jot it down. We have a Father who loves us. That's the first thing. Second sentence, we crashed. We what? We crashed. Third, we cannot rescue. There's the word again. We cannot rescue ourselves. Fourth sentence, your Father has provided your rescue. Your Father has provided your rescue. Now, perhaps the best way to unpack that one word rescue in those four sentences for Easter is through a story. Jesus would teach eternal truths through stories. They're called parables. Listen, they were made up stories in order to take people deeper into truth. And the kingdom of heaven is like, and Jesus would fill in the blank with a parable. He would take something incredibly complex and make it simple, accessible. So we asked our film team to tell a 10-minute story that would help us understand rescue, those four sentences, how to answer the question, how do you get to heaven? And because Easter is a story of rescue, this film, short film, is a story of rescue. Easter is a serious story. And so is this short film. Easter deals with life and death. Jesus bled and died on the cross for our sin to rescue us. And this film does not sugarcoat our condition due to the crash, nor the emotional intensity of needing to be rescued. So enter into the drama of this short film. Hey, and look for those four sentences in the story entitled, Hold Fast.
Made it. My name is Jeremy Daylong. And my father is Jonathan Daylong. We left the LZU at around 10 a.m. headed west. I think. I don't know what time it is. Where we went down. Please. Somebody help me. My dad is. He's not here. But he's alive. He has to be. He must have gone to get help. I don't know what to do. My leg's pretty screwed up. And I think the bone's sticking out. Dad, if you can hear me, please come get me.
Daddy, I'm scared. Help me.
Don't give up, buddy. Hold fast. Here. Cut it loose. Just don't drop it.
I did it.
Of course you did.
I dropped the knife.
Well, just don't tell your mom.
Mom!
I'm pretty sure I'm just talking to myself. I'm not mad that he's gone. I know he did what he had to do. I wish he would have said goodbye. I wish she was still here.
mean?
And so Easter is a serious story about our desperate need to be rescued. And it takes us right back to Colossians chapter 1, which we've already read. And the very first sentence, it's right there in your notes. You've already filled in the blank. We have a Father. Say it with me. We have who? A Father who loves us. See, Jesus said this repeatedly in story and directly. Things like John 3:16, that our Father who is in heaven loves us, so loves us that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish, that is, be eternally separated from him, but would have heaven, eternal life. And just as the dad in the film rescues the boy from the tree and you see that tender love, just as the father goes to rescue his son in the plane crash, so our Father in heaven intimately and deeply loves us. Hey, and some of us have been lied to. Some of us have heard from maybe churches in the past, or maybe pastors, maybe other people, that God our Father in heaven is against us. Some of us have been told and we're convinced we're unforgivable. Some of us believe God hates us. It's an absolute lie. Hey, maybe some of us have some challenges understanding our Heavenly Father because we never knew our earthly biological father. Maybe you have no relationship with him. Maybe, like me, you come from a broken family and with that, an estranged relationship with your earthly father. Makes it hard to understand and transfer to your Heavenly Father. But know this, your Heavenly Father didn't do that. That was your earthly father's choice. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And Colossians 1 tells us that he has rescued you. He redeems you. He forgives your sin. And you might ask, well, why do I even need rescue? A great question. That's number two sentence. Right there in your notes. Here we go. We crashed. We what? Yeah, we crashed. We crashed the plane of our lives. Let me go back. I didn't read further on in Colossians 1, but I'll read it for you. If your Bible's open, you can follow along. Or just listen. Verse 21. Once you were alienated from God. Listen to this. This is the condition we're in. You're alienated from God. Enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. In other words, because of sin. The reality is because of our sin, we're alienated from God. We're enemies of God. We did this to ourselves. This past week, my 11-year-old son, Jaden, asked a great question. Now, Jaden has moved on into middle school, and so he's asking deeper and better questions than he did in elementary school. He's got a great mind. He's a sharp kid. And he said, Dad, explain something to me now. How again is Jesus the only way? Why is Jesus the only way? Oh, I said, son, that is the best of questions. So we were having dinner together when he asked, and he had a grape Propel as his drink. So I said, well, son, let's just use your grape Propel. I said, if I told you, son, do not willfully knock over that grape Propel. And if you do, I'm going to send you to bed early. I said, now, Jaden, if you willingly knock over the grape Propel, do I have to send you to bed early? He thinks, he smiles, he says, no, you don't. You could change your mind. I said, that's exactly right. Because sending you to bed early is a punishment I can change. I said, now let's do it all again. You have the grape Propel sitting there, and I say to you, Jaden, do not willfully knock over that grape Propel. Because when you do, you'll get wet. You'll waste everything in the bottle, and it'll be empty. I said, now, son, if you willfully knock it over, can I change that? He says, no. No, you couldn't. I said, you're right. Because that is a consequence of your choices that I cannot change. And I said, son, most people have never understood that when God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, when you willfully sin, you will surely die, they think it's a punishment that God can change, when in fact it's a consequence that God cannot change. You will waste your life, you will live an empty life, and you will lose your soul, because by sin, you disconnect from the living God. You therefore die. That is to say that you die physically. And we all know this. We've talked about it. We all die. We never would have had we not sinned. But we also all die relationally. That is to say that our relationship with God is dead because we're disconnected, separated from Him. And we all die eternally. Eternally separated from our holy God, our Father in heaven, who still loves us. But we've sinned. We've crashed our lives. And as a result, we've crashed often the most important things beyond our soul, like marriage, family, relationship, character, moral life, finances, and on it goes. We lay on the broken wing of our crashed lives. Number three, we cannot rescue ourselves. Now this one is probably the most difficult for most of us to be honest about. This is the one where we get up and walk away. This is where we mentally disconnect. Because this is the one where we often say to ourselves, yes, but I can rescue myself. Hey, even if I did crash my life, even if I did mess up, that's okay. I can rescue my life. I can make my own heaven on earth. I can fix this. We say it in our life, and we buy into empty promises as if material things and success and accomplishment and trophies and financial wins and promotions in business are going to actually give us heaven. Now, here's the truth. They're fun for a while, but then very soon they fade. Get enough success repeatedly, and you'll know this. There's never enough wins. They always fade. You end up wasting your life, and it becomes empty because we all sin. like knocking over the bottle willingly. You all know. We all know. We've done things that are wrong before God, and we've chosen them. And we cannot rescue ourselves. But we say, oh, I can rescue myself in a relationship. We can have heaven on earth. But then our selfishness encounters the next person's selfishness, and it breaks down, and we end up in disappointment and often bitterness. And the very marriage that we said would be awesome ends up destroyed, and we end up at war with the very people we said we once loved. We can very often fail to give our kids the very dream that we hoped we would have in life. Dreams become nightmares in relationships. We end up with broken relationships in business, in communities. We're at war among nations. This earth is far from peace. Always has been. Ever since the crash of sin. Some of us say, well, you know, I'll just escape this. And we escape through legal drugs and illegal drugs and overeating and external beauty. And we got a whole list of stuff. We can't save ourselves. Some of us try and save ourselves with our own religion, our own mixed religion, like a mixed drink. We pour a little bit of the Bible, a little bit of Jesus. We call it Christianity. It's not, because we pour in a little bit of the world, a little bit of the world's thinking, and a little bit of other religions, and we mix it all up, and we say, hey, this will save me. And so we throw in a little positive thinking. We say, if I just think positive thoughts, that's how I'm going to get to heaven. If I just open my mind to everything being true and nothing being false, that's going to get me to heaven. If I just do a few good things, yeah, I probably crashed my life over here, but don't look at that. Look at a few good things I've done over here. When the truth of the matter is, we are laying on the wing of the crashed plane, and we are bleeding out. And we can't even see that's the condition of our soul before God. But what did Colossians 1 say? Think back what we read. And he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Of what? Darkness. Just like the young man laying in the plane, right on the wing of the plane in the midst of darkness. And we can't see that we can't see. And we don't know how God has answered this question. And we're eternally lost. We can't save ourselves. Now, this has been pretty inspiring, hasn't it? So far, kind of depressing. You're looking at your neighbor, man, I came for an Easter service. I don't know what this is, but this is depressing. What's wrong with that guy? Well, it's because we had to lead up to the good news. So now let's go get the good news. Here's the good news. Number four, our Father provided the rescue. Our Father did what? Provided the rescue. Okay, this now you can smile. This is the good stuff, because we had to understand our condition before you understand the solution. You got to know where you are to know why the rescue matters. Our Father has provided the rescue. Just as in the film, the dad spoke to the son. It's better that I go. It's better that I go rescue you. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to say, well, that's literally what our Father in heaven was doing in the Old Testament. God was saying to us through the Old Testament, listen, I'm going to provide rescue. I'm going to send you a Messiah. In the New Testament, Jesus comes, the Messiah. The helicopter shows up. The light has come in the midst of the darkness. Earlier on in Colossians 1, if we had had time to read, it talks about him as the light. There's the helicopter. There's the light. Rescue has come. And so I finished the rest of my conversation with Jaden at dinner. I said, now, Jane, that you understand that all of us have sinned, we've willingly knocked over the bottle, we're wet, as it were, wasted our lives, we're empty. Sin has cost us much. The consequence of sin is death. God provides our rescue. And the reason Jesus is the only way is because he is the only one who has ever dealt with the real issue, and that is our sin condition before God that has cut us off. Life and death is on the line. And many people dismiss the intensity and the truth of this. This is the issue. That's why in the Old Testament, God provided a temporary substitute sacrifice. Literally, get this, a temporary substitute sacrifice, a death that would cover our death, so that in the Old Testament, when they would sacrifice animals, an innocent lamb, that death would be a substitute covering so that the people, the nation of Israel, could be in the presence of the living God, that death would cover their death penalty. Therefore, it was always visual to them over the horrendous cost of death, of sin, leading to death. Then you come into the New Testament, because it was all a setup. And Jesus shows up, God in human flesh. He leaves heaven, he comes to earth, And John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of that was significant language. It was Old Testament language, because everybody should then understand, behold, the Lamb of God, the innocent Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world, the very thing that separates us from God. See, if you have a rescue answer that doesn't deal with the truth of sin, you've never dealt with the real issue. And he had to be an innocent firstborn. When I'm telling this to Jade, and Jade says, oh, I get it. Just like Adam, Jesus had to be sinless. The first Adam, I said, yes. In fact, Jesus is often called the second Adam in the book of Romans. The first Adam was sinless, but he fell to temptation. The second Adam had to be sinless. That's why it's so important that he's born of the Virgin Mary. He wasn't born in sin like the rest of us. God in human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, obedient to the Father, modeling what it means to walk with God, and then voluntarily dying on the cross and shedding his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, because sin leads to death and that penalty must be paid. Thanks be to God that Jesus did this for us, which is why it's Happy Easter. It's why Colossians chapter 1, I'll just read verse 19 and 20, says to us, in fact, this is why we celebrate and why it's such good news. For God was pleased to have all the fullness, his fullness, dwell in Christ, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. Hey, by making what? Peace through his blood shed on the cross. And Jesus died on that Friday and he rose to new life. He lives on the following Sunday, Easter Sunday. And because he lives and conquered death, so we live. And through forgiveness, we conquer death and we have the hope of heaven. That, men and women, is a happy Easter. That's as good as it gets. Doesn't get any better than that. The gift and the kindness and mercy of God. So let me talk to everybody in the room. I'm done talking to Jaden. Let me talk to everyone. If you knew that your Father in heaven who created you, that he loves you beyond your imagination, if you knew that you crashed your life and you were honest to God about your sin, if you knew that you could not rescue yourself, if you knew that he had provided a way through Jesus, and you could be forgiven and restored, redeemed and rescued, you would say yes to God. You would. Just like the boy laying on the plane, when you heard the helicopter come, if you knew that Jesus, if so to speak, came, if you knew that the light had come, you would get that jacket, you would soak up the gasoline, you would figure out a way to light it, and you would swing that and you would say, help me, rescue me. It wouldn't make any sense in the movie, that little short film, if the helicopter comes and the kid just lays there quiet and says, man, let it pass. I'm fine. And that's what we do on Easter. The majority of us let the rescue pass. And we say, I'm fine. I'm a man. I'll do this on my own. I'm my own person. I got this. Really? Doesn't make any sense in the movie. It doesn't make any sense in life. And the truth of the matter is, Easter 2015, you can settle this. He loves you so much. He's brought you into this place to have maybe your first moment. Maybe it's your 51st time, but it's finally connecting. And you can say yes to God. How you say yes to God is as simple and profound as a prayer we'll put on the screen. I'll read it. You follow along. Father in heaven, I accept that you not only created me, but you love me. I confess that I have crashed my life through sin. I brought death upon my life and soul. Please rescue me. Forgive me of my sin through Jesus' sacrifice. Restore me to you as your child. From this day forward, I commit to follow you as God of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the power of that prayer is that God did all the work. We don't do anything, but we have to surrender. I offered that kind of prayer many years ago when I was young. My son, Jaden, has offered that prayer and been restored to God the Father through Jesus. But I can't make that decision for you. God cannot. So no doubt he set this moment up for you. More people than we know sitting here in the cafe theater who've never said yes to God. Well, you can settle it today. If the Holy Spirit of God is awakening you and making this clear, you might be quite religious, you might not be at all. But if you've never said yes to God, this is the beginning of the relationship. You don't make it happen, God does. But you have to say yes. While you consider what you will do with the offer of God, listen to the story, experience the story of Brian, who sat here in a previous Easter, who showed up out of duty with his wife, had no intentions of doing anything other than walk in and walk out, and God revealed these truths to him. And with great courage, he stepped out from where he was seated, offered that prayer, instead of relying on himself, relying on God, and is forever changed. You'll have that invitation following his story. Listen in.
We met at college, yep. Our freshman year, during, I was there for volleyball.
And I was there for football. She walked up and introduced herself, and we started talking, and that's how it was.
I think our families are so different. I mean, her parents are going on 48 years. My mom's been married 4 times. My dad's been married 3 times.
You know, church for me, I did not grow up in a house that went to church. I went to church maybe 10 times my whole life, excluding weddings and funerals. You know, when I first started attending 12 Stone, it was a priority for Elizabeth, which became a priority for me. And, you know, there were times that she would be out of town. You know, that was a free day. I didn't have to go to church.
Easter was like any other morning. We knew we were coming to 12 Stone for the service, and we got up and, you know, we went to church. And when the invitation was given, I mean, everything changed at that moment.
He went up and it was the answer to a prayer that we had been praying for years.
Yeah, I always relied on myself, you know, I'm going to get it done. And, you know, part of this evolution is it's God. I'm relying on him for his strength, and which has helped me tremendously.
And so how do you get to heaven? Brian would have said, you rely on yourself, make your own way. God said, you can't make your own way. You've already crashed your life. You can't rescue yourself, but I made a way. So what do you do with the offer of God? And God's speaking to many of us who are men in the room, who still have this sense of independence. And you have a very rare moment. I don't know how many more you'll get. But I know you have this one, because you're in the room, you're in the cafe theater, it's Easter 2015, and you can finally surrender to your Father in heaven and be restored to him. Why would you not receive the rescue? Be forgiven. That's true for ladies, wives, moms. That's true for students. Anyone who would say yes. And so here's what we're going to do. The prayer's going to be put back on the screen. And you have this moment in all sincerity of heart, to surrender to him through that prayer. And you can whisper that prayer. And I want to give you some guidance, the very thing Brian did in a previous Easter. Everybody put their bulletin in front of them, just for a moment, please. And do this with a moment of just attentiveness. Let me walk us through this. You see on the end, it says, rescue me and I will follow you. If everybody's looking at that and the top, just hold it up the long way and rescue me and I will follow you. And then name the sign. And what you will do is you will sign right there if this is your day and your moment. And I'm going to ask everybody to detach that. Fold it that flat back and forth. Everybody, whether you do this or not is irrelevant. I just want the noise to be all made at one time and nobody feels foolish. Okay? So, everyone in the cafe theater, everyone here in the room, rescue me and I will follow you, Jesus. You sign it. On the back, I am rescued. And then you put your name, email, phone, if you're a student, what grade you're in. Now, what are you going to do with this? You're going to do just what Brian did. You're going to get up from your chair. In fact, in a moment, I'll have you all stand so you won't even have to get up. You'll just walk forward from where you're seated. You will have offered this prayer, or you can offer the prayer as you walk up. You're going to come right up here on the stage. You won't be alone. I'll be here. And you pick up a cross, which is a memento, a reminder of what Jesus did for you, Easter 2015. You've been rescued. By the way, on this particular cross is a dove. And at the completion of the song the band is going to sing during this moment, I'll tell you why that dove symbol is so significant to us and to all of you who say yes to God. But I'll come back to that. So the band is going to play a song that he came to our rescue. If you've never said yes to God, you've never settled this, you want to get right with God, he's done all the work. You just have to say yes. It's an unbelievable gift. Why would you not? Everyone stand. And if not protecting the sacredness of this Easter moment for yourself, do so for others. Just a couple of minutes of the song and inviting any one of you to say yes to God. So I'm going to stand right up here. You'll bring the card with you. You'll lay the card on the table. You'll pick up a cross. You'll walk to the back right or back left, and they'll hand you a New Testament Gospel of John. So you can offer your prayer, you can fill it out, you can walk up during the song. I'm right here with you, you're not alone, and this is a huge day for all who will say yes. Men, how about it? Ladies, how about it? Any students, this is your moment. Guys, team, sing the song, we'll wait for you. What will you do with the offer of God? I hope you say yes.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I